This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 31st. See Home Club for details.
Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis with your hosts,
Ashley
and Tracy.
Hi, all. Today we're going to talk about parenting our parents. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
And we actually have a guest today. We have a friend visiting from North Carolina. Bailey's here with us, and she has some really good feedback, opinions, and experience in this department. And so she agreed to do a podcast with us today. We're happy to have her here.
Hey, Bailey.
Hey, I'm very excited to be here, guys. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, thanks for agreeing to do it.
Of course, of course.
Welcome to sunny Phoenix, Arizona.
I know.
Got out of the cold for a little bit.
Yes, yeah. It's been really, it's actually still been pretty cold here.
And like it was first, when you first got here.
Yeah, for the first few days, it was just about as cold as it was in North Carolina.
Where you came from.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, once the sun goes down, in the desert, once the sun goes down, it gets
different.
Cold.
Even last night, I forgot about that. I was frigid.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have a lot of humidity, so that like makes it feel a little bit warmer, even when it's in the 30s. We don't have that.
Right.
So. Right. But the sun right now is perfect outside.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, during the day it's nice.
Love it,
I think you have to layer because then, you know, in the mornings it's chilly, then it warms up, but then as soon as the sun goes down, it gets chilly again. Yeah. So you kind of have to prepare. Or when you send your kids to school, you know, they have to have the layers so that.
Yeah, I feel like I've changed clothes 3 times a day here. It looks like I'm hot, I'm cold.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's so true.
But I'm not complaining because it's pretty brutal everywhere right now. So as far as cold and storms.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to going back. So.
Yeah. We're going to miss you.
Oh, I know.
It's been fun.
I know. It's so good to see you again. And thank you for joining us today.
I'm excited to talk about it. I didn't know that. Well, I guess you told me your mom had Alzheimer's.
Yeah, my mom had Alzheimer's.
So you took care of your mom.
I wish I could say that I did. Yes and no. Right. They lived in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So I ended up bringing my mom here. My dad stayed there. It was crazy because she was mentally, you know, had mental... instability and Alzheimer's, where her body, physical body, was in good shape, and my dad was the complete opposite. His mental capacity was sharp, but his body was just, you know, giving out and falling apart. So I ended up moving my mom here. Well, I ended up bringing her here because he went in the hospital, and I hired help to take care of her over there, and it didn't, that whoever I hired didn't even make it at night. And she's like, you need to come get your mom.
Oh, wow.
She was undiagnosed and untreated.
That's so, common.
And then I brought her back here, and it was very hard to get her any medical help. I had to deal with insurances and changing insurance from state to state and all kinds of stuff. My two younger children were very young at the time, and we lived in a two-story condo, and it got to the point where she wouldn't make it up the stairs anymore. And the bathroom, like both bathrooms were upstairs. Anyhow, and I worked full-time. I had friends and neighbors that would help out. Between my young children, you know, and my mom, it was quite an ordeal. And I would take a shower and one of the kids would come in and say, "Mom, you know, grandma's running down the street." And So I ended up putting her in a home. The long and short story of it is, I think that there are people that are built for caregiving. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are people that are not. And I have come to terms with the fact that I just wasn't built to be a caregiver. Yeah. So I can't even, my heart goes out to you because, you know, having a close family member going through Alzheimer's, especially, and the fact that you're taking care of your family. I can't even.
And a single mom, too.
And being a single mom.
Raising a daughter. Well,
I think you're, like, looking at it like putting your mom in a home wasn't helping your mom.
Well, actually, it was because.
It's what she needed.
It's really what she needed. And they were great people. It was just a house.
Oh, nice.
And I believe that they were Ukrainian individuals that lived across the street. And they took care of several people.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me. There were about two to a room. But they actually put her on medication and then got her into the doctor's system. But because they had experience in caregiving and with Alzheimer's,
they knew the steps.
They
to take,
knew also the medications kind of to put her on. But even that was challenging. The first night there, I got a call about 4 or 5 in the morning, and it was the people that owned the house, and they said, "Did you get a good night's sleep?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Okay, I was hoping you'd get a good night's sleep. Now you got to come back and get your mother." Like, she was combative. She was, you know, when you take them out of their environment and put them somewhere new, they get very confused very easily and combative. But anyhow, so I picked her up, and then God bless her, she called me back about a week later and said, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm struggling." And she says, "We've been thinking about you and we want you to bring your mom back."
Aww.
So anyhow,
Wow.
That's amazing.
So that's my story, which I didn't even plan on talking about today, but it is what it is, you know. And actually her mom, her brother had Alzheimer's. You know, so it wasn't new to me. And the sad kind of thing is, too, is that I'm adopted.
Right.
And it never even, I've known about it since I was born, but I never really thought about it until I was going through this with my mom and Alzheimer's. I would go to work and, you know, people knew what was happening and they would just look at me with like such sadness because it is genetic. And I was like, "I'm adopted."
You know, it's like, don't worry about me.
But the funny thing is I think as everyone does when they get older, your memory starts to fade. And, and so I'm like, "Oh, I'm nervous about it." But, you know, it is what it is. So,
absolutely. It's most of the time out of our control at this point.
So. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Which is like the sad truth.
Right. Yeah.
Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that seems to just kind of be like a just long, sad truth.
It really is. And until you really go through it and see, you know, what it does to a person and slowly, right? It's very slow that it happens. And then within my mom's case, she just ended up shutting down. You know, her whole body ended up just shutting down. So, but the memory is kind of a funny thing. She always knew who I was. And for some strange reason, that was always a comfort to me.
That is a comfort.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, that is big.
You made her feel good. You made her feel comfortable. I feel.
Yeah. I think so.
That, I mean, I've never had any experience with it personally, but just hearing about your experiences, it sounds like it's very humbling and you really learn patience in a different way than you ever knew before.
Right. Right.
And it sounds like you both handled it very well. I mean, you said you have learned about yourself that you're not a caregiver, but it sounds like you've did a great job and made the right decisions.
Thank you. Now, I have a lot of guilt still to this day, you know, and I think that's maybe my coping mechanism is just because it's the truth, you know, it is what it is. But I remember at that time, you know, being curled up on the kitchen floor crying And my young kids came over and they're like, what's wrong? And, you know, and you could hear them and, you know, and in my mind, I was just going crazy. And then I looked up and I was like, I just wonder which one of you guys are going to take care of me. Right? And that was, you know, so anyhow.
And then you're like, do I want my kids to go through what I'm going through right now anyway?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And my daughter's very young and, like, was very young when I started taking care of my parents. And so it's not a conversation, like, we've had, like, seriously or anything like that. But my mom, even before she got sick, was like, if, you know, if I make your life, like, more inconvenient or, like, make it really hard for you, I'd rather you just put me somewhere and, like... You know, it's just a selfless thing that parents do.
Parents,
And that's what you want for your kid is to not... There's no way to live a life just curled up on the kitchen floor crying.
Right.
And that's not...
Well, you know, that was because I couldn't get her upset. You know, there was so much going on.
And it's a very traumatic experience to see the person that raised you and that you looked up to and you were so close to and gave you such a great life, you know, to see them just diminishing and there's nothing you can do but try to help them through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To, you know, to the inevitable. So that's very traumatic.
Yeah.
Very traumatic.
And it's just not talked about a lot because it's so uncomfortable for everybody. And so, like, people don't want to discuss it, but it's like, what happens when the people who raised us or taught us to be who we needed to be now need to be?
Right.
Taken care of, and, like, it's never talked about
because
people want to avoid the hard things.
Well, and I believe that, especially here in the U.S., we're not necessarily accustomed to doing that.
Yeah.
And I think, sadly, a lot of people are like myself who have to, you know, enlist help.
Right. Yeah, and that's so true.
Yeah.
And I think it's really popular in, like, Asian countries where they're like, we take care of you
until
you
die. Absolutely.
No,
like, that's
right. But not in America. Not
right. I
not
know.
Here.
Right.
We're like,
and even Hispanics, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We have such a large Hispanic population, but they take care of their parents and their grandparents, and the parents and the grandparents take care of the children. And I really love
the
that culture.
Love that.
Yeah, I love that culture.
Love that,
I really do. So
I think, too, I mean, when you have the means. And I, by that, I mean, like, financial means or, you know, as far as your living space. If you have the means to do it and you still feel like you can't, there's that level of guilt.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have it and it's just not going to work, then it's one thing to go, what am I going to do?
Right.
But when you have it and you still can't seem to make it work, that, I think, would also make me feel very guilty. Like, I should be able to do this, you know?
That's so sad.
But I mean, I hope that I'm never in that position with my mom. She's still very young. She's in her late 60s. So, but I don't know. I don't know if I have, you know, at times, seen women have to take care of kids with special needs.
Right.
And, and I mean, like, severe, like, they have to bathe them up even when they're in their 20s. And, and it's like, this is how they were born, and this is what I'm doing the rest of my life. And I have seen that at times and thought, wow, I don't know. I mean, I love my children dearly. I just don't know if I
have it.
Maybe there was just, they, you know, the universe knew that I wasn't capable, and because I can't even imagine.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever be faced with that. And, you know, I have a younger brother, so.
And he doesn't live too far away.
He doesn't, so no, yeah. So, like I said, my mom's still young, and she's retired and goes back and forth between, you know,
I was
going to
say she's coming
Utah.
Here now, so that's great.
So for now, it's great, but I mean, we'll see. We'll figure it out, but I hope to be like, you know, the other cultures that we talked about and just not ever have to be faced with that decision, because I do think that would be very, very challenging.
Right. And how do you cope on a daily basis, Bailey? I would imagine that it can't be easy at all.
It's not. It's really hard. It's really hard to cope. And healthily, too. Like, what is, you know, I feel like the easiest way to cope in situations for me, it would be to just, like, shut myself off and, like, be alone, solitude in a room by myself. And I never, like, craved alone time until, like, I just did not have it anymore. And so now, like, it's easy to do that, but, like, that's not a way to live life. Like, shutting yourself off from
isolation.
People, isolating yourself is not
healthy.
Right. And I mean, like, And then you're stuck with guilt. I feel like, you know, no matter what happens when you're put in a caregiving situation of any kind, like even you, Ash, like you do help take care of your mom and like she's very independent and like thank God for that. But you still help your mom like with things that she avoids until it can't be avoided anymore. Right. Like her insulin and stuff.
Yes.
Bless her heart. She's so sweet. But it's just like once you immediately go into that place of caregiving, it's just you're consumed with guilt, I feel, no matter what. And like I look at it like you can either I could let this debilitate me or I could just like realize like this is what it is and this is how it's just gonna have to be and like until I can find something that works better for me, I've just gotta kinda suck it up, I guess.
Power through.
And, like
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how my mom raised me. Like you know, I take care of both of my parents and my dad has dementia and my mom has a traumatic brain injury and they both very much so just like can't remember things and like my mom remembers me all the time and so I'm very thankful for that.
Right.
Because that is like a very
there's something about that.
My mom and I had a very like deep relationship and very like close one.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah.
And it's really hard, like in your case, like seeing somebody who was one way and just that like disappear from them is very hard.
Yeah. And
you like you want to get mad and you want to like be angry, but there's nobody to be angry at.
Right.
And you've just got to be like, well, that sucks, and this is unfair, but I guess it's what we gotta fucking do, bro.
And you have a whole different dynamic in your situation because it's almost like your parents, because of what they went through, I mean, they're not that old.
No.
They really aren't. This is something that happened to them at a pretty young age, and you watched them pretty much swap personalities.
Yeah, that's so
true.
You
know,
and that in itself
is a mind fuck.
Whole mind fuck.
You know?
I feel like
so,
my whole existence with my parents is a mind fuck.
Yeah,
truly.
So even though your mom remembers you, that relationship that you have, the dynamic's very different now because she's not the way she used to be. Like, her personality has literally changed.
Completely, yeah.
And so thank God she remembers you, but
yeah,
does she
like,
remember,
do you remember
the relationship that you had and the way she treated you?
Right,
and
what do you remember?
Yeah.
Because it can't be...
Yeah.
It can't be what I remember.
So it's... Yeah, I mean, it's not that just that you are the sibling that has taken on this responsibility, but you're dealing with that whole different dynamic of the fact that their personality's literally changed.
Yeah.
And that's hard for anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Why
I can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah. How do you take care of people that you don't even know?
Exactly.
And I'm supposed to love you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you.
Right.
I don't know either of you at all. You guys are weird.
And
you're weird as fuck now. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. But really.
I don't like it, Mom.
Yeah.
Mom.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So. Do you have people that come in and help at all? On occasion or on a consistent, you know, cadence or?
I used to hire this nurse. I'm like, well, she was a nursing student. But I'm just like, my mom has been hospitalized a lot recently and my dad is getting just like mentally a little bit worse and like inappropriate and combative a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my sister lives in Chicago and then my brother passed away. But even if my brother were alive, he wouldn't help my dad. My dad like cut off bridges with everybody in his life except me. And like he could have cut our bridge absolutely, but I just wouldn't let it happen because I felt bad for him. But like my dad doesn't have anybody and my mom, she has me and my sister, but again, my sister lives in Chicago. And so I have my friend Anna who comes and like she'll chill with my parents sometimes.
So you can get
for
out.
Free.
I was gonna say
who's
with them now since you're here.
So I flew them out to Chicago to stay with my sister.
Awesome.
Yeah, my sister even right now is a little stressed,
overwhelmed.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just
you're like
don't feel bad.
No.
I know. I want to.
That's my life every day.
Well, you need your time. I'm so glad that you.
I am too. Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever done anything like this since either of my parents.
Long, like a long break. It's been a
week.
You know, short weekend trips are nice, but. It's
What is that even? It's more stress than anything.
Yeah, you don't get that.
Right. Especially weekend to Arizona across the country.
Right.
Yeah, I could like.
Well, I was wondering, how did they fly by themselves to Chicago on a plane by themselves? Or?
So they, my mom and dad, my mom hates my dad. Okay. Very much. She does. They
well,
were divorced.
We should mention, right. Yeah, they yes. were divorced before this happened to them.
My dad was extremely abusive and like an alcoholic, and my mom left my dad and we moved to North Carolina and he followed us here, and he's just very toxic man and very much like, I need a woman to do everything for me. I'm a little baby. I can't do it. Like, so he just, you know, and now my dad is very, he doesn't remember any of that stuff now, and he like has completely switched personalities, and he's very like nice and thankful and
sweet.
Grateful and sweet, and mm-hmm. like tells you how much he loves you and appreciates anything you do for
I've
him.
I've seen clips.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
I've seen
very
some
much
clips,
just
so.
A sweet
right.
man.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom, she doesn't like him, but she doesn't mind helping me out by helping him out. So when I took him to the airport, I like walk them to security, and then I have somebody escort with them. I have
as if they were children, minors.
Exactly, yeah. And that's how you got to treat yeah. it. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of airports now where if you have like a lanyard that has sunflowers on it,
mm-hmm.
it means somebody has a hidden disability,
oh.
usually Alzheimer's or
okay.
dementia.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So I have a lanyard for my dad,
yeah.
Because my dad is still very young. He's not even 60, and he
I feel that's like my age.
Mm-hmm. He's 59.
It's crazy.
And my mom's
yeah.
56, and so my dad, I can't like. He's not, like, at that stage in his disease where, like, he can't understand what you're saying. Or, like, you mm-hmm. can't talk about him in front of him and him not know you're talking about
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't get him, like, a big t-shirt that says, like, I have dementia.
Right.
Like, or, like,
it needs to be discreet.
It has to be discreet.
Right.
And so the lanyard's a great idea because it kind
yes.
of, like, doesn't humiliate anybody. And my dad, like... It's good to make people feel like they're normal people, and like
mm-hmm.
that's my goal with my parents. So that's why I still like argue with them, and I still like talk to them like a human being, because I'm not about to
right.
dehumanize anybody, and
right.
I'm not about to
right.
treat you like a fucking baby.
Yeah.
Well, there's
not.
Something to
yeah.
that though about them. You can't. Yeah. That my mom had big denial.
Yeah.
Over that. So, and the reason I ask about the transportation is because, as I said, my parents at the time lived in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So when this all happened, my dad ends up calling me from, you know, the hospital bed. They were
mm-hmm.
literally pushing him down the hall for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't tell me because he thought he was going to, I don't want to say get away with it, but didn't think he had to. But then
right.
my mom went crazy in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So he's calling me to come get her, right?
Oh,
so
right.
I get to the hospital and they're like, oh, it's the daughter. Like, and they rushed me through. It was crazy.
Oh my
gosh.
So as the doctor was walking me down to the emergency room where my mom was, he was trying to delicately, you know, explain,
mm-hmm.
you know, the bizarre happenings of what had happened. Which we still don't know to this day, everything that happened to her that night. But, and I was like, no, she has dementia and, you know,
right.
And Alzheimer's. And you could just see he was relieved. And anyway, so they go there and
yes.
he rips back this curtain. And there she was in a hospital bed in a straitjacket.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because she'd become combative in the hospital, was going out emergency doors. Somehow she left. And came back hours later in the morning with different clothes. Nobody knows where, you know, where she was.
What?
Anyway, so she was in a straitjacket. And they ripped the curtain back.
Well.
And I was mad. But just, mm-hmm. It's so weird. It's almost, you know, as if you're in a, I don't know, a dream or something,
yeah,
right?
Movie.
Yeah, and that. So they rip it back, and I look at her, and I'm like, Mom,
yeah.
I'm mad at
yes.
her. Like, it's so
I'm mad.
The roles reverse,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
I was the parent,
ooh,
she was
yes.
the child, and
yes.
I'm like, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
What's
yes.
happening? And she was going on, and so I was asking her, they're like, do you know who that is? And I'm like, what's my name? You know, and she's
mm-hmm.
like, Tracy, you're my daughter, Tracy. And tears started going down, and they're asking her, like, do you know the date and all this stuff? But anyway, so then they released her to me. So I take her back to Phoenix
mm-hmm.
because I have a job. I've got kids.
Right.
Like, literally just in the middle of the
wow.
night, I had to shift them off. And so anyways, I take her back on the plane. It was right before Christmas. Whatever it was like, maybe it was Thanksgiving. It was the busiest travel day, right,
oh,
of
wow.
the year. So we luckily get two seats in the back of the bus, in the back of the plane. We make it there by the grace of God. And as soon as the plane lands, she gets up and starts screaming. Oh. And like everybody's starting to get up, you know how that, you know, and it's a mad dash to the door. Mm-hmm. She gets up and starts screaming and dashes to the front of the plane.
Oh, no.
And I'm screaming, "Mom," and just start crying. Yeah. And everybody was so kind, kind.
Yeah.
Anyways, I ended up like pulling her from her sleeve through the airport. And all I remember is just tears were streaming down my face. That's why I asked if you were like, were they able to just fly by themselves?
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. My dad feels very safe when he's around like me or my mom, or my sister.
Okay. Yeah. Something must have happened like, that triggered that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because every now and then she would do that.
They're just so.
Like scream, like scared.
Yeah. Just like.
Probably.
Yeah. Very combative. Just like she doesn't know what's going on. You can't approach her. Even once we were in a grocery store, and you know how like when you go to check out, sometimes they would like switch carts on you, like, and they're loading your groceries into a different cart.
Yes.
Well, my mom was holding onto the cart, somehow got confused, and you know, that caused a freak out in the grocery store. But anyways, the plane one was like the first public one
it's
that I ever had.
And it's makes you like so many emotions all at once, and you don't even know what to do with them.
Right, you don't.
Right. How am I supposed to feel? I can't be mad at you, but I'm embarrassed as fuck, and nobody else gets it.
And what am I going to do?
How do I handle this?
Right, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do?
And that was just it. I didn't, and it was so new to me. Like, I didn't have the tools, the resources,
terrifying.
Or,
it's terrifying to see anybody do that, this, but, your own,
but your mom?
Yeah, your own mom.
Yeah.
That's somebody you love
very much. And you know she has no idea
what
she's
scared.
Doing.
Right.
You know she's scared.
She's terrified.
Yes.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Who else would do that if you're not terrified, you know?
Right.
Well, and you deal with that, too, with your dad. I've seen on some of your clips, just not even knowing what state he's in, where he is.
Yeah,
or asking where your brother is that's passed a few years ago, or, you know, things like that. That
it's funny because the memory, they remember some things from, like, their childhood or way back very clearly, but not, you know, what they ate for lunch, right? So it's kind of funny, you know. My mom went back to religion.
Like, based off some of the stuff I've seen with Bailey's dad, like, everything seems fine, and it's like a switch flips.
And it's
like, he all of a sudden he's scared, and he's like, wait, where am I?
Yeah.
And he, just 2 seconds ago, he was totally fine and having a conversation.
Smiling, laughing. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing I've ever...
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Like, what?
The brain is crazy.
What happened? What caused you to do that?
Right.
Right.
Or now I'm having to feed him on, like, different colored plates.
Oh,
weird,
really?
Right. Like red.
Uh-huh.
It just makes it, like, the food look more appealing, I guess.
Interesting.
Okay. He's, like, not
how do you learn about this
about
stuff?
It.
Like, the lanyard and the different colored plates, and how do you know about that? Do you do research? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just look it up. Or I'm just like, my dad is doing this. Why is he doing this?
Okay.
And then it's weird. It's so weird. I'm like, why is my dad mad at this food? Or, like, I bought...
And he's still eating solid food?
Yeah, thank God.
That's a sad question, but it's
but
yeah.
then, like, you know, he's having bathroom problems right now, too. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking gross. But,
Diaper, like, it's,
Ew, dude. But, what was I saying?
About that getting the help and finding the resources to deal with whatever.
Or, like, why is he angry at
Why do I look it up? Yeah. Or I bought, like, to-go containers.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes he'll be like, did you make this? And I'm like, yeah. And he looks at it like I did something to it to hurt him.
Oh, so you make it look like it's from a restaurant.
Yeah, so I put it in a to-go container. Wow. Like, I didn't make this. You know?
That's awesome.
And he eats that.
Wow.
But then most of the time he doesn't do that. So it's like every once in a while. Or he'll like, you know, think I'm his wife or like some lady that he wants to get with. And that's when it like makes you question everything.
Right.
And you're like, is this worth it for my mental health? You know?
Right.
Because I have a 10-year-old daughter at home.
That's confusing.
And then I'm like, what are what do we do? And then, you know, God forbid he does some shit like that to her. And then, and then I've murdered someone.
Right.
My dad.
Then you're and facing jail time.
It's not funny, but it
no,
is.
No, it's not funny, but it's
I know.
Funny.
You have to
it's
laugh.
It's funny.
You
have
to
laugh to keep from crying, Tracy.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You do, Bailey. Oh, my. I'm like, oh, girl. Well, you know, it's emotional to me because I went through my own experience with it. And it's clearly, you know, it's still upsetting. And like you said, the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm doing way better than I was, which is kind of sad. If, but
just talking about it is, I mean, it's emotional for me. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've not experienced it, but I mean, it's probably something that will always, you know, make you cry when you talk about it, or kind of are reliving. It's almost like you're sitting here remembering.
I can remember that plane ride. Oh,
yeah.
Every moment of that. Yeah.
Every moment of it for the past like 3.5 years.
It's been 3.5 years?
Since I started taking care of my mom. Yeah.
Okay.
And my dad's been about 2 years.
Okay.
And my brother dying's been about 2.5 years. And it was just all right then.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, anytime I think about my dad being sick or my mom being sick, it brings me immediately back to like how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like how scared I was and how scared they are. And it's just like, we're all just every day scared as fuck.
That's
trying to figure it
terrifying out. Terrifying for anyone, but you were in your late 20s.
Yeah.
When that all went down. What, 27-ish?
25.
Wow, so you barely started to live your own life.
Oh.
No, yeah. No,
and had a very young daughter. I mean, your daughter's in elementary, so she was very young at that time. Yeah. That's a lot.
It was crazy.
Well, I think you guys both have free passes to heaven. So.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, you do.
And that's why I just don't feel guilty about traveling and doing something like this, or like, I'm
going to
go somewhere else this year.
You've got to have a break. Yeah.
Yeah, because no one else is going to give that to me but me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've decided. And like, you know, my mom, before she got sick, had hundreds of friends. And my mom like didn't know a stranger and would talk to everybody and traveled the world. And like, smartest woman I've ever met, funniest woman, prettiest, sang, she did it all. And then when my mom got sick, all of those people disappeared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all gone. And my dad didn't have anybody
already,
so I'm like, not surprised.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, so none of you guys are here for my mom, and none of you are here for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's dope. And not even my family. You know, my sister like would absolutely be here doing it if I wanted her to be, but as soon as my parents got sick, I was like, Paige, you gotta go. Because we both can't do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I have resentment for my sister sometimes, because I'm like, she'll complain about stupid shit, and I just want to be like, don't complain to me about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, I would rather her do what she wants to do.
Well, I think you guys both have amazing stories, and thank you so much for sharing those. I know it's emotional and sometimes hard to talk about, but I'm really grateful that you did. You guys are awesome.
Yes. Thanks, Bailey, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. I really had a great time.
We did too.
We did too. Till the next time.
Yes.
And that just about wraps it up for today. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. Embrace the change.
Join the conversation on our website at letstalkmidlifecrisis.com or our Facebook or Instagram and YouTube channels. We'd love to hear from you guys.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.